Hello and welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. In yesterday's Perek Vav, we were privy to witness the miraculous return of the Aron of Hashem from the hands of the Plishtim, where it had unfortunately been held captive for 7 long months. We learned the story of the cows pulling the Aron all the way to its destination, despite having their nursing calves locked up back at home, demonstrating the depth of their inner desire to do the will of Hashem, and proving to the Plishtim that this entire episode was divinely guided and not a mere matter of circumstance. We also learned about how upon the Aaron's miraculous arrival in Beit Shemesh, the people of the city were struck with a terrible plague, killing tens of thousands of people, leaving the residents of Beit Shemesh and all of Am Yisrael in shock and mourning. We learned together many different approaches as to what could have prompted such a harsh response and harsh punishment from Hashem. And now in today's Perek Zayin, we'll see the Aron being given over to the nearby town of Kiryat Ya'arim, where it will remain safely, uneventfully, for 20 years. As we begin our study of Perek Zayin, we're going to see how this Perek is going to mark an important turning point in our Sefer. For the last few Prakim, we have mostly been following the story of the Aron. In today's Perek, we will once again turn to Shmuel and watch as he rises as the national leader of the people of Israel. In this Perek, we will see how Shmuel will guide the Bnei Israel through tshuva, tzvila, and ultimately victory over the Plishtim, their enemies. And we'll see how strong and devoted of a leader Shmuel was to the Bnei Israel, how deeply he invested himself in the spiritual growth of the Jewish people. Let's begin. Pasuk Aleph begins. Vayavo anche Kiryat Ya'arim, vayalu et Aron Hashem, vayaviu oto el Beit Avinadav, v'giv'ah, ve'et Elazar beno kitshu lishmor et Aron Hashem. The people of Kiryat Ya'arim came, and they took the Aron of Hashem and brought it into the house of Avinadav, which was located on a hill. His son, Elazar, was chosen to guard and watch over the Aron. Continues Pasuk Bet. Vayihi miyom shever ha'aron b'Kiryat Ya'arim, vayirbu hayamim. From the time that the Aron was stationed in Kiryat Ya'arim, much time passed. There were 20 years, and the entire household of Bnei Israel were drawn after Hashem. The wording of this pasuk is a bit ambiguous, and as such, there is much debate among the Mefarshim as to where precisely in this 20-year period our Perek and the story which is about to follow falls. It's either at the end of these 20 years that today's story begins, with Shmuel gathering the people for a tshuva gathering, an approach which the Abarbanel favors, although we're left with an issue of figuring out how all of this fits into Shmuel's 52 years of life. Following this approach, though, we can appreciate an extremely deep message, that tshuva, the ability to grow and change, is a long, slow, and gradual process. Even with a leader on the level of Shmuel, and even after being zocha to witness all of the miracles with the Aron of Hashem, it would still take the Bnei Israel 20 years of time for them to be open to doing teshuvah and bettering their ways as a nation. A second approach, based on the Midrash Shmuel, and which chronologically might make a bit more sense, is that it's at some point in the middle of these 20 years. Shmuel led the Bnei Israel for 11 years, then Shaul reigns as a king for 2 years, and then the Aron remains for 7 years under David's leadership as he served as king in Hebron, and then only did he move it when he moved his capital to Yerushalayim, then he brought the Aron with him to Yerushalayim. It's at this moment in time that Shmuel passionately addresses all of Bnei Israel in Pasuk Gimel. If with all of your hearts you are returning to Hashem, then you have to remove the foreign gods and the Ashtarot from among you and direct your hearts to Hashem, serving Him alone. And then He will rescue you from the hands of your enemies, from the hands of the Plishtim. Until now, the people had been hedging their bets. They believed in Hashem, but they also kept elements of idolatry. Shmuel explained to them that this is impossible. True monotheism means serving Hashem alone. And Pasuk Dalet, incredibly, the Bnei Israel are open and receptive to Shmuel's words. They remove the Baal and Ashtarot Avodah Zarah from amongst them, and they serve Hashem alone. This moment sparks a real spiritual turning point for the Bnei Israel. Now Pasuk Hey. Shmuel here gathers the entire nation at Mitzvah, and he promises that he will pray to Hashem on their behalf. And Pasuk Vav, Vayikabtsu HaMitzvata, Vayishavu mayim, vayishbachu lifnei Hashem, vayatsumu bayom hahu, vayomru sham chatanu laHashem, vayishpot Shmuel epnei Yisrael b'mitzvah. So they all gathered at mitzvah, and they drew water, and they poured it out before Hashem, and they fasted on that day, and they said there, we have sinned to Hashem. They declared their mistakes, and Shmuel judged the people, the B'nai Israel, at mitzvah. There's so much to unpack and learn about this gathering here. First, where is this place mitzvah that they're gathering in? This is, after all, the place we reference in our slichos as the place where Shmuel davened his ultimate tefillah in his life and was answered. And it's referenced in the line, Mi she'ana l'Shmuel b'mitzvah, hu ya'aneinu. May the one who answered Shmuel at mitzvah answer us as well. We might know the chorus of this song better. V'zacharti es briti Yaakov, v'yaf es briti Yitzchak, v'yas es briti Abraham es kor, v'haaret es kor. You can hear the tune in the background as I'm saying the words. This is the most famous scene we have of Shmuel davening and having his tefillah answered. So where is this mitzvah after all? The Radak explains that this mitzvah is actually the same historic site which was mentioned in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek 11, where Yehoshua was miraculously able to defeat Yavin, the king of Canaan, and his alliances. This special place has long been a place associated with national gatherings and with miraculous salvation. Shmuel purposely brought them here to access the spiritual power and the miraculous nature of this very spot. The next detail of the pasuk we need to unpack is what was this water pouring ceremony that was taking place? Many of the Mefarshim understand they're pouring out water before Hashem, metaphorically. The Malbim explains that these words express how Bnei Israel were davening, and the act of pouring water before Hashem symbolizes it pouring out their hearts in prayer and letting their tears stream fully before Hashem. They weren't per se doing some nisuch hamayim, some pouring of the water ceremony. What they were pouring in front of Hashem was the water of their tears in true tefillah, with true davening before Him. The Radak explains that it was an act of pure tshuva, of deep repentance. Symbolically, they were pouring out their inner selves in repentance before Hashem, pouring their souls out into the open, genuinely bettering themselves in this process. This was an extremely powerful and deep moment of national prayer and national tshuva that they were all experiencing together here in mitzvah with Shmuel as their guide. Finally, delving deeper into one final detail, what precisely was Shmuel doing judging the people here at this moment? They're davening, they're doing tshuva. What type of judging was going on? The Malbim notes something beautiful here. He points out that the people had already repented for the sins between themselves, between them and Hashem, in their moments of heartfelt tefillah and tshuva. So now Shmuel was trying to help them to repair the sins that happened between people. True complete tshuva requires both repenting before Hashem and repairing our relationships with other people. Our national tshuva would not be complete if we were not more unified and connected through this process. That is what Shmuel was so busy with at this precise moment. But while Bnei Yisrael were soaking up the holiness of this gathering, the closest comparison I can conjure up in my mind of an experience like this would be the last Yom HaShas in MetLife Stadium, where the momentum was so pulsating. The entire stadium was moving, and it's impossible to explain and recreate the oneness and closeness that one can feel to Hashem in such a powerful, soul-stirring gathering like that. While Bnei Yisrael are soaking up the holiness and enjoying their special spiritual moment together, the Plishtim, their enemies, hear about this massive gathering in Pasuk Zion, and they become extremely alarmed. From their perspective, having all of their subjects gathering together in one place is not a good sign. It could signal that they're trying to plan a rebellion against them. So what did the Plishtim do? They quickly mobilized their army to attack. Pasuk Chet. The Jewish people heard the Plishtim coming, and they become extremely frightened. They scream and beg to Shmuel, to their leader, do not remain silent. Please cry out to Hashem for us so that He will save us from the Plishtim. Pasuk Tet tells us that Shmuel listens to the people, and he takes a young nursing lamb and he offers it as a complete burnt offering to Hashem. He cries out to Hashem on behalf of the people, and the Pesukim tell us that Hashem answers him. Pesukim Yud through Yud Aleph, as Shmuel is offering up the karbon, and as the Plishtim are approaching, Hashem sends an incredibly loud and scary thunderous noise on that day. and the terrifying sounds confuses and panics the Plishtim, and they're defeated before Bnei Israel. The Bnei Israel continue to pursue the Plishtim, and they're able to strike them down until a place that the Pasuk calls Beit Kar. Pasuk Yudbat, acknowledging the incredible miracle that took place, Shmuel sets up a large stone which he places between Mitzvah and the cliff, and he names it Even Ha'azer, declaring, "Until here Hashem has helped us." Pesukim Yud Gimel through Yud Dalet, the Plishtim were humbled, and during the days of Shmuel, they no longer dominated Israel. They even returned the cities that they had previously taken, from Ekron until Gath, and there was peace with neighboring peoples as well. Although Plishtim do end up reappearing soon during the time of Shaul, perhaps this can mean that during Shmuel's leadership, they didn't succeed in overpowering Israel again. And our parak continues, Pesukim Tefav through Yud Zayin, by describing Shmuel's unique style of leadership. He judged the Bnei Israel all the days of his life. He was constantly on the move, traveling in a circuit between Beit El and Gilgal and Mitzvah, judging the people in all of these places. Then he would return to Ramah, where his home was. This was remarkable leadership on Shmuel's part. Shmuel followed in the footsteps of his father Elkanah, and he devoted himself to the entire nation. Shmuel chose to go out to the people, pitching his own tent and bringing all of his own belongings with him, rather than wait for the people to have questions and have to come to him. As uncomfortable as economy seats have become nowadays, if you're even able to get on a flight, traveling in those days was extremely difficult. Long distances, harsh conditions, and slow travel by donkey. Yet Shmuel wasn't concerned about himself or his comfort. His entire life revolved around reaching the most people and spreading the most Torah to all of Am Yisrael. According to Chazal, these constant travels may actually have caused him to age prematurely, as we'll see in our opening line of tomorrow's parak. But that didn't stop Shmuel. Every fiber of his being was focused and thought about Am Yisrael and how he could reach them best. One last beautiful idea to conclude with for today. Rav Soloveitchik, in his monumental work Al HaTshuva, points out that the words U'tshuvato haramata kisham beito, he would return to Ramah because that's where his home was. He explains, is one of the unique places in Tanakh where the word teshuvah is used, and that very word can shed deep light for us as to how teshuvah works. He explains that Shmuel spent his life traveling outward around Eretz Yisrael, constantly on the move, inspiring the nation. But at the end of the day, every journey and every circuit he took ended with his eventual return back home to Ramah. Sometimes we imagine our relationship with Hashem as a straight line, that with each step sometimes we take, we're going further and further away. But really, just like Shmuel, our relationship with Hashem is like a circle. The farther out we go, we're really always on our way back home to Him. So tshuva is returning back home to that place where Hashem is and where our relationship with Hashem is. And sometimes you might think you're getting far, but really, you're always on your way back. A Jew is always in the circle of returning back to Hashem. For a parak which focused on Klal Yisrael's national moment of tshuva and reconnection with Hashem, this is a fitting personal takeaway for ourselves for today, to view ourselves in a circle of return to Hashem and to rekindle the closeness once again. Thank you so much for learning this parak together. Wishing everyone a wonderful and meaningful day. Today's parak is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.